Sometimes we take for granted what the Father has done for us and what it meant to deliver us from the power of darkness. When we hear the gospel preached, or when it's told, sometimes we think that the preacher has some kind of authority to translate from darkness to light. But I remember listening or watching a well-known gospel preacher, and I was touched by the fact that after he presented the word, that he just stepped back from the podium, and it was as if he was just waiting to see the Spirit work. It's a divine work. It is a work beyond the energies of men, one that we have been made fit to be those who were outside of the commonwealth of Israel, having no rights to the covenants, the blessings, and to know that the Father, that he has put us in such a condition that we would be those who would share in this common portion, the inheritance of the saints in the presence of God. Young people, we have to think about what the Father has done for us in Christ and how we have been delivered. I believe it's in the book of Psalm that speaks about the redemption of the soul, that it is precious and that it ceases forever, meaning that it was not humanly possible that we could be delivered or ransom given for the soul by another man. But this is what the Father has done for us. He has taken us from under the authority and the domain of Satan, and he has translated us. He has brought us into a new sphere altogether. We spoke last night of the fact that there is new creation for us. There's a new authority, a new master. And the Apostle Paul is saying that we need to be those who are thankful. That's why he leads in, you know, the strength and the might and patience and long-suffering. But he says that we might be those who have thankful hearts, because it is by the sovereign grace of God that we are where we are today. And that we should know in whom, this is the Son of his love, we have redemption through his blood. There is no other way. You know, men have conjured up thoughts as to what will be acceptable in the sight of God. But it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus by which we have redemption through that blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And you know, when you sit and you look at the way the Spirit of God has penned these verses, it's very unique. It is, we have redemption. First of all, is deliverance from the power of darkness translated into a new sphere. Then we have, in whom we have redemption. We have been redeemed, not with corruptible things. We can never go back and be unredeemed or lost to someone ever again. And we have the forgiveness of sins. Do you know, young people, there is a teaching that says you can be saved and lost. And I know of a man who fellowships amongst a group of believers that way. And he is always in a state, a very unsettled state, because he doesn't have the reality of the knowledge that his sins have been forgiven. And that if we sin and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This speaks to the authority of the one that is connected to the will of God. He is setting before us that he has done a work once. It is complete. It is to the satisfaction of God, and it has brought us in. But more importantly than what is done for us, it is allowed God to have a man that he can set before us and whom he will set before the world in a day to come.
Might be helpful. And Tony, I'm sure you have heard this. If you look at the Darby translation, you will see that through his blood is not there where there's a footnote. And you might say, well, why is that here? I'll explain to you as best I can. I believe his work is seen in verse 20. His person is what is coming before us in this. So that's why when you read in whom we have redemption, you'll read even the forgiveness of sins. Because it's Christ that is being set before us in his preeminent glory. Now look at what it says in verse 15. Get ready, young people. Ask the Lord to help you to get hold of this view of the Lord Jesus. He is, or who is, the image of the invisible God. You say, well, what does that mean? That means this, that he is the visible representation of him that is invisible. You stop and think of that lowly man here upon the earth. That's exactly. He was God manifest in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. He is the image of the invisible God. And then we'll look at this little word. He is the firstborn of every creature. You say, well, that simply means that he was first. No, it doesn't. That is not a time reference in that verse. That is a reference of rank. He is the firstborn. If he had been born last amongst mankind, he would still be the firstborn. I hope that I can set that across for us, that the Lord Jesus has the highest place. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the first in rank of every creature. And then notice, for by him were all things created. I remember a Baptist brother once told me, he said, wait a minute, God created all things. Yes, I said, I know. Because Jesus is God manifest in flesh. He, by him were all things created. Things, he says, that are in heaven. I can't see those things. It is a world that is beyond me in a certain sense. But then there are things that are on the earth that I can see. And so the Spirit of God says there are things that are visible that you can see. And there is a whole world of authority and power that is invisible as far as you and I are concerned. The Lord Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all of that. These saints had lost sight of that. They saw him perhaps as a savior that would deliver them, but they had lost the view of this tremendous glory. And then he goes on and he says, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. Number one, were created by him, but it's not stopping there. Not only were they created by him, but they were created for him. What a wonderful thing. You know what? We can't exalt the Lord Jesus too much. We can't lift his name too high in this world that we're living in today, can we?
Well, I think that these verses right here are exactly why we need knowledge. Mm. We have literally been brought into divine counsels. This is God's mind revealed in what he's done with the Lord Jesus. Is there any wonder why we spend so much time saying, you guys need to read your Bibles. You guys need to understand these things, because these things are so much greater than us. And God allows us through his word and through the work of the Holy Spirit to get little pictures, little wonderful pictures. But these verses before us should make us feel very small and very insignificant. It should make us very aware of the need we have for knowledge, for the knowledge of God's will for us, because we see here that he has planned everything to the smallest detail. He didn't just create things which we can see. He created invisible things. He didn't just create, a man. He created this man's authority. He created the power that a man could wield. I mean, this is the work of God. And so is there any wonder why we need the knowledge of his will? Because we are, in this grand scheme of things that is being revealed for us, so insignificant and so powerless that the only way we have a chance for anything is to be as close and to walk as close to the will of God as we can.